Welcome to There She Grows podcast, where we are embracing life's twists with a side of wit. I'm your host, Abby O'Sullivan. Hey there, welcome back to There She Grows podcast. And today we are talking about my marriage. This is a past marriage, not anything that is currently happening. I've been divorced for over a decade. And I've chosen to tell this story on a day where it is overcast, it's kind of gloomy outside. We had some very turbulent storms last night, some high winds, hail, tornadoes here and there. I don't think there were any, maybe there were some tornadic activity. I'm not sure if there was an actual tornado on the ground, but 'tis the season in the Midwest, it's springtime. Luckily, my particular specific area of town was not really affected by anything other than this thunderstorm. So I was awake well past midnight. But yeah, it seems apropos to share the story of my marriage on a gloomy day. Marriage and gloom and doom. Goes together like peas and carrots. Just kidding. Not for everyone. And that's actually not really what I think of marriage, but I love to deflect the emotions with humor. I love to make things inappropriately funny. And really, like, why I want to talk about my marriage is because, well, actually, it was the last relationship that I had, but that's really only a fun fact. It's one of those relationships that I can look back on and I can see how much I can grow from that, like how much you can learn from that. I can see like where I could define my values and looking for an aligned partner, and then just like society expectations, the expectations that you have of yourself or that you perceive others have of you. And just kind of talk about that, because I think that a lot of people experience that. I was in my mid-20s when I got married. We met sort of in our like early 20s. And gosh, I was naive and I was just young and I was, you know, immature in a lot of ways, of course. Like, why wouldn't you be? And so there's no shame around this. There was a lot of good stuff there. I always say that I think that we were good for each other when we first got together, and then we grew differently and we grew apart, and it just wasn't meant to be. And that's sort of like the elevator version, you know, like when people are like, why did you get divorced? I'm like, well, you know, we were really, we just grew apart, and then it's cliche. I mean, but there's some other stuff there. And so I want to highlight like this, I guess what you would call red flags or whatever. But I also want to say, like, there's a lot of good things about those types of relationships too, or there can be. And I want to preface this with the fact that I came from about 3 months earlier, prior to meeting my ex-husband, I came from a shit relationship with my first boyfriend. So like, such a good track record here. But he was a drug dealer, could never hold down a job, like rarely held down a job. Didn't have a valid license and didn't have a car that he was illegally driving, and had a really weird toxic relationship with his ex baby mama. We had an emotionally manipulative relationship, and I was in this like adult relationship when I was so young and didn't need to be, and when I was in college and when I was trying to do things with my life. And I ended up, you know, in that. I made a decision and I ended up in that relationship for a lot longer than I needed to be. I have highlighted this particular story on my other podcasts, one of the earlier episodes. My first boyfriend was a drug dealer. You can look up Beauty Pro Wellness podcast and catch that. This is before I rebranded, so it doesn't really have anything to do with Beauty Pro Wellness, but it's all about like self-worth and learning big old hard lessons in life via dating really shitty people. And so I went from that, left him abruptly, to 3 months later meeting a guy where, like, I guess the bar is really low when you're like, wow, he has a job and a home. And I mean, like, he owned his house, but like he has his own home that he pays for by himself. It's not depending on some woman or anything else. And a car, and his family's real nice. And, you know, families are families, so that can vary. I don't want to, like, that's not necessarily how we need to judge people, but, like, as a different set of baggage, regardless of if it's a positive experience or not, I was like, wow, look at this guy. That's a complete 180 from where I was at. Why wouldn't I date him? But he was nice, and I was interested, and we got along well. So there it goes. So I just think it's really funny to highlight the stark contrast between these two men. And he was accepting of, you know, like the things that I told him about myself. And he didn't, you know, like, oh, you're dating a drug dealer? Or like, oh, you suck. He was just, oh, no, you seem like a nice person. I'm going to keep dating you. I'm interested in you. Or whatever he thought, like, I don't have any clue. So in this relationship, there was a lot of good stuff. I feel like for the most part, we did get along pretty well and pretty easily. And one of the cool things about having that type of partnership in your life where you are, you know, you're committed to each other, you're like, I'm with you, you're with me. And then I would say for our example, like we were married. So I'm going to use this like as an example, but you don't have to be married to experience this in a relationship. But, you know, someone having your back, especially when stuff comes up with like family or whatever, like you have somebody that's not your family or your friends that you can talk to about all of this stuff. And I do remember that becoming pretty important at one time where we were deciding for us, you know, not for them. We were deciding for us and we were talking about things for us. And even though I would say maybe communication wasn't one of our strongest skills, and I should probably just speak for myself, but I also know how pervasive it is that men do not share their feelings, or at least maybe with particular people they don't. So maybe he was talking to his brothers or his family or his best buddy, you know, about stuff that he didn't talk to me about. And that's okay. Like you're supposed to do that too, I guess. I mean, I don't want to generalize. I don't really like rules, but I'm just saying that we could have been talking to each other maybe more about like what we were feeling and how we were feeling and the things that were bothering us instead of trying to hide it and push it away and just keep moving forward and ignoring it until those little things became big things. And then the big things were now like really huge things. And I would say like one of the first red flags was, well, it's a red flag, but like one of the first stop signs that I was barreling through on the road was pretty quickly in, about 3 months in, found out that he was hiding the fact that he chewed tobacco. And that was a hard no for me at the time because my ex-boyfriend was a smoker. It gave me headaches and migraines. I think it's disgusting. I'm not even sorry about that. I think smoking and chewing is disgusting. I feel pretty similarly about vaping. I mean, like, do you, but just not around me, okay? Like, I don't want to date you. I don't want to be around it. And I specifically asked, smoking and chewing, do you do these things? And he said no. And so when I found out that he'd been hiding it, that felt probably similar to what it felt like in my first relationship. Lots of lying and hiding and covering up. It probably felt like that. And I just came to that realization. I mean, I was mad because I'd asked and he'd said no. So he'd lied to me, but I was furious about it. I was just like so pissed and sassy. And we were getting ready to go on this fucking huge family vacation with his family. He has three brothers. Everybody was dating and or married. And I think there were some extended family people there. That's not like the attitude that you want to have with your new boyfriend person when you're going on a family trip, is that you're pissed at them. And everything there, like half the shit they're going to do is going to annoy you because you're just like, I'm holding this grudge over you. And you're like not ever going to stop and you're just going to do it. And everyone's okay with it. And this is stupid. And you just lied to me. Well, I could have broke it off right then. Couldn't I have? Could have just like stood my ground, but I obviously wanted to be in the relationship more than I cared about his chewing. I suppose maybe I figured, well, it's not like there's a smell necessarily that affects me or there's smoke or whatever. He just sits in the bathroom for a really long time when he's got a dip in or like, you know, when we're driving or whatever. And if he doesn't have one regularly, just like my ex-boyfriend, he gets a little cranky, which I mean, I get a little cranky when I'm hungry. So I guess we all have our things, but like hunger and smoking withdrawals or nicotine withdrawals are a little different. they're a little different. So that was like one of those first things where it was like, man, you kind of just went against something that is really that you value is people not doing that. And you sort of went against that. So like, maybe don't do that again and just let those people go like immediately, especially if they're never going to try to give it. Like if he's like, oh, I'm trying to quit. And you actively see that, like, okay, cool. Let me give you some time to do that. And I suppose you pick and choose your battles, right? And I chose to stay with that one. I won't get in a relationship with somebody who does that again. It's a no. It's a fucking hard no for me. I think all of it's disgusting. And I used to tell him, like, I will not stay with you when you have a giant hole in your mouth from like face cancer, lip cancer, tongue cancer. I'm not going to stay with you. Like, you chose this. I will not be there for you. Like, I actually would say that to him. So that's really how I felt about it. And so we kept dating, made it through that trip. Okay. And so kept dating, and eventually we get engaged. And how I had felt about marriage, I suppose, if I can sort of sum it up, because this was a long time ago. So I don't know exactly what I thought then, but I do know growing up that I felt like marriage was one of those things that you like, you meet your guy, you get married, and by age 29, you have a couple of kids, you have your house, and then I don't know what the fuck comes after that. I don't know like what else you were supposed to do in your life besides raise those children and be married. But that was sort of like my idea of adulthood, I guess, when I was much, much younger. Not when I was like dating my first boyfriend, but just much, much younger. And so going into marriage, when you're getting engaged and you're like, oh, well, I've already had friends who had gotten married. So it's like, oh, you're next. Oh, it's just the thing that happens and that you say yes to and that you do. And it's not that it didn't feel right to say yes to, it did. I was like, if he asked me, I would marry him. Why wouldn't I? He's a great guy. I love him, blah, blah, blah. But I also think maybe we could have talked about some other things first. And maybe you figure this out when you're older, or maybe like if you're more mature than I was, then you figure it out then. I don't know. Kids these days are really different too. But I grew up in the Midwest, in the Bible Belt. Like, people were getting married at fucking 18. The fact that I was 25 or 26, it was like I was old. You know, I was like Pride and Prejudice, past her prime. I'm going to be an old, what would they say about the ladies in those days? Like, if they weren't married by the age of 25, it was like they were going to be an old maid or something, like alone forever. Well, this is the modern days, and you can live your life like that if you want to. You don't have to fucking get married to enjoy your life and or relationships. So we got engaged. And then the next like big thing that I know caused a really big shift for me emotionally in our relationship was a change in his job. And it was a negative situation. I'm not going to go into details because I don't really need to, but it brought some things to light, and the whole situation around it was just, I guess it was just sort of out of character for him. And I was supportive at the same time that I was like kind of confused, and also like, why the fuck did you do that? What the fuck were you thinking? You know, and feeling like maybe there was some hypocrisy there. And then, so there was that time, and then the following months where there was a lot of inaction, and I lost some respect for him, and I had trouble feeling attracted to him. I think when I lost some of the respect, I lost some of that attraction, and I didn't talk to him about this. I didn't tell him what was bothering me. And I don't know if I, you know, was really checking in on his feelings. I think I observed what was happening, but I don't know if I knew how to address it or if I did, you know, maybe I did. Maybe I was like kind of empathetic and nurturing, or maybe I wasn't. I don't remember exactly how I was, but I do remember sort of observing his behavior and kind of wondering if like, you know, he was doing okay or whatever, but I knew how I felt, and I was trying to grow a business. And so I just kind of kept doing that. And I think in the other aspect that I didn't even really consider then, knowing what I know about like our situation and all of that, financially, I wasn't super worried. I feel like now looking back, I could have been a little bit more engaged that way. But also looking at his family dynamic, I never really grew up talking about money and finances in a way beyond pay for your car insurance, get a job to pay for your random things, you know, paying rent, getting a student loan, but not really understanding the gravity of all that in like a really adult way. And I didn't take it upon myself to think about it that way at this time either. But I also saw that it seemed like traditionally in the family that the wife was maybe not super involved. And that was only my perception. I have no idea how involved his mom was. I knew she raised them and she was, you know, staying at home and raising them. But it doesn't mean that she didn't have a work ethic or that she didn't work later on or that she wasn't involved. But it sort of felt like the women just kind of do their thing and then the men take care of all the business. And knowing what I know, that's kind of a reasonable assumption. It's a reasonable perception because I know the ins and outs more than what I'm going to digress here, mostly because I want to tell these things to you, but I also want to respect that this is another human that I have respect for now. I do not respect my ex-boyfriend still to this day, piece of shit. He will always be a piece of shit in my mind and in my life. There were no redeeming qualities there. Yeah, nope, no redeeming qualities. And so there's the difference between these people. So I feel like in that time that that's something that we probably should have maybe been more concerned about, but we weren't. And everyone has their path. So he chose a path where he bought a business, and that was sort of a stressful time because the business wasn't necessarily like in the black in terms of success and all of that. And so he was learning something new and taking over a business that wasn't like in a super deep hole, but it wasn't doing great. And so to take all of that on yourself, you know, with maybe only like advice from your family, I don't know, that's hard. And I can recognize the weight of that. But at the time, we were about to get married. And so I was like, I'm going to focus on that. And the next thing that I joke about being sort of a rift in our relationship was our honeymoon. And you'd be like, well, honeymoon, like generally you're just having sex and having fun, right? That's what honeymoons are for. Consummating the relationship. We went to Mexico to an all-inclusive resort. It was a gift from his parents, the honeymoon, which is incredible. And I had a pretty traumatic experience there beginning the very first night. It was on the very first night. And then the rest of the trip was like, okay, but that definitely fucked it up a bit. And what I used to say, looking back now, I feel like maybe I don't need to say this anymore. But there were times when we were going through divorce that I was like, well, if he just stayed with me that first night, that's a total red flag that he wasn't going to be there for me in the end. You know, like if he just hadn't wandered off by himself. And I'm going to tell that story at the end here, but I kind of want to get to like my points without getting too sidetracked. It's a pretty good one, and I'll share it at the end so that you can hear the point of the episode. But if you want to stick around for a fucking crazy story, go ahead. I mean, maybe that's why you're here. It's sort of like an online diary, honestly. But I think that it is with that situation, it's just a matter of speaking up for your needs. Like I could have specifically said, I want you to stay with me. I don't feel well. I want you to stay here tonight. And if he, you know, then he just left, then that was definitely a sign, you know, that he was just going to do whatever the fuck he wanted. But I don't know that I said that. And honestly, I can probably say that I didn't. And even if I said something like that, it wasn't probably very specific. And I'm probably just like, okay, fine, I guess, like, whatever, you know, like that type of attitude. So we keep going and we keep going. And as this relationship plays out, that bit of time where I lost respect for him and I started to feel less attracted to him, that little crack in the relationship started to become bigger for me. And I'm speaking from my perspective. And the little things, like there's always going to be these little things about people that annoy you, like people in general, your friends, your family, your loved ones, like whatever. Even if you love them, there's going to be shit that they do that probably drives you a little bit crazy. And especially when you live with somebody all the fucking time, right? And that was also like a really big change in our relationship. I'm just going to backtrack here, is that he used to travel a lot when we first met. So he was gone for weeks at a time. And then when that thing changed with his job, he was around all the fucking time. And that was very different for me. I was like used to having my mornings, you know, and like you miss them a lot more when they're not around. This is a really big test for a relationship. So that might have added a little fuel to that fire, you know, just remembering that. But that crack became a little bit bigger. And what I was saying was like all the little things that you're like, you can just ignore, added a little bit more and more to that. And like the separation, the withdrawal, that fire, like it got bigger. All those little sticks that were being thrown in that normally don't make like a huge difference were starting to make a bigger difference. And I had, oh yeah, this is a pretty good part of the story too. Oof. I had withdrawn from him sexually as well. And that's pretty personal, y'all. Like, and it's probably more common that people are living together and like not having sexy time than we want to admit, or that we would like to admit, or that we even want, you know, like we want that in our lives. We want to feel like doing that with our partners. And regardless of like the reasons or whatever is going on, most of us want that. And so when you're basically just like roommates with somebody, well, what the fuck is that? And there was a situation that where I checked his phone and I saw some messages and it was like not great. Nothing happened. The other person wasn't like saying no. She was definitely, yeah, she wasn't just shutting it down immediately, but she also wasn't like, let's set up a time to meet or whatever. And I could not speak to him for like 3 days. I was like either going to cry or kill him. I was so pissed, because even if I wasn't feeling attracted to him sexually or having sex with him on a regular basis, I was not stepping out. I'm like fucking loyal to a fault. I didn't cheat on my shitty ex-boyfriend either. Like that's just not me. And I didn't, you know, send flirty messages even when I was drunk or whatever. I wasn't meeting people to do that with. I went out with my friends, but it wasn't to meet people. And that was another thing that we did not have in common, was how we spent our time socially. I wanted to go out with my friends and do these things, and he couldn't stand doing those things. And he wanted to hang out with his family or his friends. Like we were growing apart. Like it is the cliche. We were growing differently with the way that I was running my business, the networking group that I was in, the people that I was meeting. The town that he was building his business in was like an hour away, like where he was meeting people. Like we were growing differently and not staying together in that growth. Like we were growing apart because of that. We weren't, I guess, interested in sharing those things with each other. Like he left me downtown on my birthday after we were trying to leave the club, and I turned around for my friends. He fucking walked off without me on my birthday. He left me at a club, at bar close, he got in a cab and he went home without me, because I wasn't right behind him when he got out the door because I looked around for my friends. What the fuck, you know? We did not enjoy the same types of social engagements. And then it became apparent at some point that we also didn't really think about money and success in the same way. Like the perception of that for both of us, I think, was a little bit different. And, you know, to be fair, I don't even know if I knew what mine was, but I wasn't like, my goal in life is to be a millionaire. And there was something that he said to me that made me feel like what I was doing in my career was not good enough. And at that time, I was actually contributing to the household, and I loved what I did, and I was getting more clients, and it's what I wanted to do with my life. Like I had left college, I had worked at Walmart, you know, I'd gone through this stupid breakup, and then I found what I wanted to do in aesthetics. And to have somebody say that, I was like, so like, you don't believe in me? Like, what the fuck is that? Like, I don't think it can make us millionaires. Well, like, how do you even know that? You don't even know that. Honestly, it could have, because I was an early lash artist here in town. I had to take a quick little pause, but I know exactly where I left off. So I was getting ready to talk about kids. That's a pretty big deal. Whether you want to have kids or not, a lot of people want to have kids. A lot of people are sure that they want kids. And some people aren't sure for a long time. Some people are sure that they don't ever want them. And at the time, I think that I felt like it was expected of me to want these things, but I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure that I wanted them. And so I gave myself 5 years, somewhere around the age of 25, gave myself till I was 30 to want to have kids. If that's not bargaining with yourself, but I mean, I don't know, seems pretty reasonable, right? Like, I don't know, maybe you do want them, just needs to be the right situation or the quote, right time or whatever. But then I didn't want them. The further that we seemed to grow apart or whatever the issues were, like, I wasn't getting the feeling that I wanted to have kids. Kind of just like regardless, I wasn't getting the feeling that I wanted to have kids. Being around babies did not and still does not make me want to have babies. I do not get like my uterus does not, there's no tugging from the inside of my body. I do not want them. And I began to realize that. And then also we were, I don't know, it just felt strained. And then we had that big issue with the texting and that all escalated into fights at some point and then separation for a week, which was really difficult. And then getting back together where we were really like teetering on the edge of being okay, you know. But I didn't want kids. And that was also thrown back at me that I'm selfish for not wanting kids. And I do not think it's selfish to not want kids. I don't think it's selfish to want kids. You could say the reverse for both of those things. It's selfish to not want kids. It's selfish to want kids. To me, it's not something to do with being selfish. It's just the fact that I did not want them. And in fact, I think it's selfish to like say that to somebody in that way, you know, to just be like, well, you're selfish for not wanting kids. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? Like, you're selfish for saying that to me. I don't know. Words. I'm going to throw words at you to make you feel bad too. And I know that throughout the marriage, when we're talking about like how I felt about, you know, like what it's supposed to be like to be an adult. What's it supposed to be like? What are you supposed to do? The things that you should do, how it should be. I felt maybe unnecessarily so. Maybe there was no reason for me to feel this way, but I did feel this way. I felt a bit of pressure to be like this homemaker, this person who's a good housewife, a good caretaker of the home and husband and, you know, like does these things and wants the children and wants to build this family and always spend an ungodly amount of time with his family. And like, I didn't always want to do those things. Didn't always want to spend a ton of time. I mean, like some was fine, but like I spent a lot of time with them. And for the most part, like that's not really necessarily a big factor in these things. It's more that I felt the pressure to be like some sort of like homemaker that I was like, I am not that gal. I am working sometimes at dinner time. I don't know what's for dinner and I don't know what I want to do for dinner. Like I will figure it out when I get off of work. What do you want to do for dinner? Could you cook your own dinner possibly? That would be great if you could take care of yourself as an adult. So it's those weird things that like that was maybe undue pressure that I was putting on myself that I felt, even though maybe nobody was like ever explicitly saying these things to make me feel this way, but I felt it. And that could be, you know, like an insecurity or self-worth or self-esteem or like whatever. And to me, all of it just screams like misalignment. It screams like you probably didn't know your own values in life. You just didn't want somebody who smoked. you know, adult drugs, having a car and a job and good family values, blah, blah, blah. Those things are great. But that's not something I defined until I was much older. I didn't really start thinking about defining my values until, gosh, probably really when I started to get way more into personal development and like business development in my mid-30s. I was cruising along, just doing whatever, flying by the seat of my pants for the longest time, like figuring out along the way, oh, I don't like that. Maybe I won't let that happen to me ever again. I would guess that I had values that were mostly imprinted on me from family and culture and society and your friends, like the things that you grew up with, those were my values. And then also, I like just didn't want to date a drug dealer again. Like I knew that was definitely a no-go for the future. But talking about necessarily like our life goals and like really having a serious discussion about kids, even though you're engaged and you feel like you're a little too far in to back out now, like you have to have these discussions with people. Otherwise, you're just trailing along in this relationship forever. And like, where is it going to end up? When are you ever going to talk about these really important things? Because if he wanted kids, he needed to be with somebody who knew for sure they wanted kids. Like 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, knew they wanted them. Not somebody maybe who was giving themselves like some time. Like I think it's, well, I'll backtrack there a little bit and say like pretty understandable for him to be like understanding and say like, yeah, well, you know, give us some time or whatever. But it's pretty important when I knew pretty early on that like I really was leaning towards no, but I was just going to give myself some time to think about it. Ugh, it almost feels like, was I misleading him? Or did we just never talk about how important that was to us? And would I have been brave enough to say that's not something that I don't want? You know? Well, we should probably end the relationship because it's not something that I actually want. And we should both get what we want in life. Was I grown up or mature enough to even think of that? Or, you know, are we just a couple of young kids just kind of like doing the things that you're supposed to do? Quote, supposed to do. There's a lot of air quotes that I haven't, you know, announced in this, like when we're saying supposed to and should and all of that. But it's just so interesting to me how those things play out so prolifically, the expectations and the, you know, the kind of the traditional way, and such a different world today. And sometimes it's like kind of the same, but also different, right? So yeah, communication, values are pretty important. Like, how do you both feel about money? How do you both deal with money? Like, these are things that I would think about now. How do you feel about kids? Like now I'm like, I don't want to date anybody that has kids unless they're like way older and like about to get out of the house or out of the house. And I don't want kids. And so it's especially on dating apps. And I think that there's a lot of people who maybe say they want kids because they think they're also supposed to want them. And so they just say that because they think every woman's like desperate to get married and have babies, but we're not all desperate for that. That's not something that all of us want. So where it feels sometimes like my choices are already like narrowed down, it's like even further narrowed down in an area where people tend to like, it's all about family and growing a family and having a family. And whatever limiting beliefs aside, that's a reality. So while there were some good things in this relationship, we definitely, you know, we got along. We had some humorous moments. We had our good times. There were definitely those little and not so little things that caused a big enough like gap. And then the emotional unavailability of both of us and the not talking about things and the not sharing the feelings until it was too late, and they all bubble over in explosions of late night fights and separations and then coming back together. And it wasn't until like somewhere in the end that I felt like I was just like finally trying to be very immature and reach out. And it's because I was worried, and I realized that I wanted the best for both of us. I wanted the best for him. I wanted us both to be happy. And if it wasn't with each other, then we needed to go ahead and end it. And I'd already been through like this initial shock of us possibly breaking up anyway. And so I think by that time that we actually did, it's not that it was easier. It was just like, I think that this is necessary now. And there came a point where neither one of us could say, I love you and I want to work on this. He wasn't saying it to me and I didn't say it to him. So even if it's something that we felt before then or in that moment, we didn't say it. And I know I was really sad after that. I was really sad after that. And I don't know, TMI, this isn't really super relevant to the story, but I wrote a bunch of stuff down, kind of like a pros and cons list. I know that sounds really terrible now that I say it out loud, but I wrote it down because it was like journaling. I was just so emotional after that conversation. Whatever it was that we said to each other, I was so, or didn't say to each other, I was so emotional. I wrote a bunch of shit down. And then I went and stayed with my sister for like the weekend. I got out of the house because he wanted to be in the house. And he found it somehow. And he was like, I saw that. Guess we're getting a divorce. And that's not exactly the way that you want somebody to find out how you really feel. And especially when it's so emotionally charged. And so I did feel kind of bad. But also, I don't know. I guess maybe some relief too, because it just like, I guess it just didn't seem salvageable at that point. I don't know. Anyway, so so when people ask me why I got divorced, I'm like, well, we grew differently and we grew apart. And there were some big things along the way and everyone learns their lessons. And I hope he's well. And I'm okay and I'm fine. And it's a whole nother story to then navigate your post-divorce world. And I would say that I honestly, like, I think because of what we had gone through in like the prior 6 months, that it's not that getting divorced was easy. I just was like, okay, well, this is what's happening. I gotta like find an apartment. And we've got to deal with our stuff. And because of the way it was handled, it was, I would say, like, in comparison to what I've heard about divorce, is like a fairly easy divorce in terms of paperwork and stuff like that. And by the end of it, he was being friendly to me. There was a time where he wasn't. But I mean, like, I was just like, okay, whatever. Like, you're going to be a dick. Like, that's okay. Like, fine, whatever. We're still getting divorced. So it's just the way it is. But there was never any like I didn't hate, but felt hurt and confused and frustrated. Maybe him, myself, the situation, I don't know. And, you know, you're sad that something is ending. I also was really lucky to have friends, a lot of friends like that I had made that were, you know, they knew us both, but like they were very supportive and I had a growing business. And so while it was like a little bit rocky to support myself the first year, I was able to do it. And I had been in a relationship like since I was like 19 or 20 or so with that dude, with the doofus, the asshole. And then about 3 months later, I'd met my ex. So for like all of my 20s, I was in this relationship and was divorced right before I turned 29. And then was rocking the single life. But that's for another day. That's for another day. It kind of like, I don't know why I wrapped it up that way, but like, there it is. I kind of like the idea of there being some entertainment when you're listening to somebody else talk about their life, I suppose. I don't know. I was talking about a past marriage, like entertaining. Do you like this? You'll have to let me know. I promise. I have funnier and probably slightly more uplifting stories But also, like, that's the point of the podcast, is that there she grows. Like, we grow through all of these things, all these moments where you're like, well, that was really sad, but like, can I laugh about it now? Or does it still make me sad when I think about it? But also, that's what's true. That's what's true. And then, did I learn anything? Or am I just going to repeat the same pattern for the next 20 years? Which, from there, those two relationships, yes, for like the next, I did. See, I can laugh at myself. So that's the point of the podcast. So that's what you're here for if you're staying tuned. And I know this is kind of getting a little bit long now. So if like you're like, cool, I am so overhearing you talk about your marriage. I hope you have a good day. Peace out. If you want to hear the honeymoon story, that's what I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go into it right now. Psych. Oops. I actually did record the story of my honeymoon right after this, just like I said I was going to, but it made this episode ridiculously long. So I decided to cut it and put it into its own episode. So you can actually then now check it out completely separately, releasing them at the very same time. So if you're like, ooh, I got to hear this crazy ass story, you can go right ahead. But I just, I felt like then if you wanted to listen to it separately, then you don't have to pause and remember to come back or anything. It's just going to be right in your queue. Okay, bye. Thank you for tuning in to There She Grows podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a rating and review. And be sure to share it with your friends and family that you know would enjoy it too. There She Grows podcast is lovingly produced by Wonder Podcast Productions.